Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Hi, friends. It's Diane here. And at Someone Gets Me, we have the coolest guests. And I know you'll agree because we've been listening to all these amazing people. And I just found somebody else even more amazing than the amazing that I always have. Like, it's so amazing. Amazing. I'm using that word a lot, but that's okay. I interviewed somebody on the show a while ago who you all loved. And she sent me Jacqueline, who you're going to hear from today. And when we first started talking, Jacqueline and I'm like, oh my God, we could be sisters. She's amazing. And her name is Jacqueline Di Gregorio. I think I got it right. And she's in Philadelphia. Now, Jacqueline is not only an educator and a speaker, but she's also a best-selling author. She has an amazing coaching consulting practice that's all about clarity and action. And you know, those are my big words too. So you can already see this great alignment that's going to happen during this show. An interesting thing about Jacqueline is that she started businesses and creating the things that are needed by the people around her from the time she was in college at Georgetown University. So we have somebody on the show who has a vision, who can see what to do to get there, and then can orchestrate the vision. It's amazing to me. I love it. She's also been in Forbes magazine and has been featured in lots of amazing kind of journal situations. So without any further ado, I would like to welcome Jacqueline to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane. I really appreciate the kind introduction, and I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here, because the more I think about you, the more I go, oh my gosh, it's like we could be sisters, but we don't know each other till now. So this is so fun. So I'd like to start out with having you share with us a bit about who you are, where you were born, what kinds of things are important to you, like how did you get where you are? And then we're going to start out at your being 21 and starting that business from your dorm room. But how did you get to that place, to Georgetown? What happened?
Yeah, so I was born in the suburbs just outside Philadelphia. I lived in the same house my whole childhood. I have two older sisters, so I was the baby of the family. And I always liked school. It very odd, definitely wasn't like the normal kid, but I loved studying and learning. And I've really kept that with me. And I feel that that has been a defining factor in how I have gotten to where I am today, because I'm constantly learning. So throughout high school, I actually wanted to be a fashion designer. I did not know much about entrepreneurship. And when I was applying to colleges, my guidance counselors and my parents just said, well, why don't you just study business? Because it gives you more opportunity. I think they realized that I wasn't very artistic. So they're like, why does she want to do this? But they wanted to be nice about it. So I applied for business, and I was really, really fortunate. I got almost a full scholarship to Georgetown based on financial need. And so I was able to attend my dream school, and I studied marketing and international business. And I love school, so I just, you know, kept immersing myself in the education part of it. But what I didn't realize at the time was that the education part of it isn't really where the learning happens. It's in the doing, which is why I'm so into taking action. And the first time I realized that was when I had my first business idea, and I assumed that it would kind of just take off overnight, and I already knew everything I needed to know. But obviously that is not how it was, and it started this amazing journey, which I've been on for the past 3 years. And yeah, I think we'll leave it there.
That's perfect. It's so funny because action's my favorite word ever. And whenever I'm doing a workshop or teaching something and I'm giving the steps out and I'm getting ready to write the action word down, you can almost hear a groan in the audience like, oh, there it goes again. But it's so true that without the doing, you don't get anywhere from here. So I love that you just said that.
I love that we're in such alignment.
That's great. So when you were 21, you started your very first business from a dorm room. What kind of business was it?
It was a health and wellness company that focused on helping young women, specifically women in college, have a healthier relationship with food and have more confidence, because I struggled with an eating disorder in college. And I realized that the problem was much bigger than most people knew and even realized. I found a lot of my friends, women in my sorority, were struggling with disordered eating habits and just a really unhealthy relationship with their body image, and they didn't even realize how bad it was. And so I started that business just out of that natural feeling of, hey, this is a problem, and I was able to turn my problem around. Maybe I can help others. So I think that was the first time in my life where I realized that my purpose, and this is a big word and it intimidates a lot of people, is to help people. And so because I recognized that that was my purpose, it wasn't so challenging for me to transition at the point where I had kind of given that business a lot of impact and had found another passion that I wanted to pursue, which was helping female entrepreneurs. I made that shift pretty effortlessly because I knew my purpose was helping people. So I think we put a lot of pressure on this idea of like having this really specific, really clear purpose. Like, oh, my purpose is to help women with their body image, or my purpose is to help women grow their businesses. And I think we're multi-purposed human beings, and we can shift in different purposes in different seasons of our life. And when we talk about helping people, if that's something that connects with you, and I assume that a lot of listeners on here have that passion somewhere, just know that you're going to want to help people relating to the season that you're in, and your season will change. So trust that. So that's exactly what I did. I stepped fully into it. I gave my heart to it. I gave my soul to it. I made a lot of mistakes. I had a ton of failures, and I embrace them, and I'm so thankful for them, because that's enabled me to know what I know and to be able to teach what I teach. You don't learn from doing things right. You learn from doing them wrong, which is why I've done so many things wrong. I have so much knowledge now, and I'm able to help so many women. So that's kind of my journey on the first business and how it got me to my second business, and why I believe that it's totally okay to change your mind and to get involved in many different things and just follow that intuition, as you always say.
Oh, that is right on. It's like I tell everybody, in fact, somebody asked me the other day about reinventing yourself. And I go, you don't reinvent ourselves. Our vision, our purpose within us is always the same. It looks different though, based on where we are in life. And so if your purpose is education or inspiration, or in your case, helping people, then you're going to be helping people all the time. And it's going to look different in different phases and seasons of your life naturally. But that doesn't mean you're reinventing Jacqueline. It means you're allowing your own purpose to grow and expand as you grow and expand. And I love how you've done that so effortlessly, and because a lot of people struggle with that. So that is really amazing. So let me ask you, what was one of the big failures that really helped propel you forward?
Oh gosh, there were so many. I'll tell you about my first one because it was the hardest. And my fiance always makes jokes about how someday I'm going to be on Good Morning America and they're going to be interviewing him, which is the funnier part. Like, he's going to come with me for the interview and they're going to ask him about like how I've grown and my journey as an entrepreneur. And he's going to tell them about my first major failure, because I was a mess. And it really shows how entrepreneurship helps you grow as a person. It helps you grow as someone who learns to deal with things, who learns to react better, who learns to control their own thoughts and emotions. But because I hadn't experienced anything like this in my life, of course I had failures in the past. I was denied from some of my dream colleges, and I've gotten bad grades, and you know, all those things that we go through in life in the younger years, but it's nothing like entrepreneurship. So my first failure was my first product idea with my first business. I wanted to come up with a plate that helped women eat balanced meals, because something I struggled with in my eating disorder was binge eating. I was constantly binge eating, and something that really helped me stop binging was to eat a meal that had all the different food groups in it and that was already portioned to a healthy size, so it would make me feel full and satisfied, but not over full that I felt sick and guilty. It was like the perfect happy medium where you got to eat all your favorite foods, but you didn't overeat. And so I was like, I wish I could create this for other people. So, you know, I did all the market research, and I took all the steps that I thought were right, and I called factories, I got prices, and long story short, I found someone to make my plates, and it was going to cost me $10,000 for the minimum order quantity. And at the time, like I said, I was on a full scholarship, and I did not have much available spending money. So I decided to get a job on campus at our local restaurant bar, and I started waitressing, and I was going to save my money up all year so that by the end of the year, I could order these plates. So I had worked for the first semester of that year, and I saved up about $4,000. And then my parents had asked me, you know, how's it going? We know you want to make these plates. And I said, you know, it's going well. I'm almost halfway there. So by the end of the year, I should have enough money. And my dad said, well, what if we were to loan you the money? And this was really a lot of money to them. And I knew that it was going to be, you know, not an easy feat for them to loan me such a large sum of money, but they believed in me. And so I felt like, you know, I had to go for it. This is what was going to help my family have financial freedom from my success. And so this kind of head start that my parents were giving me was going to pay off for everyone. And so I said yes, and I borrowed the money from them, and I ordered the 10,000 plates. And when I first got them, it was awesome. I sold them to all my family and friends. I got everyone I knew to buy a set, and things were going really well until I actually launched them to the world. And when I did that, I didn't get a single sale. Not one person outside of people who knew me and wanted to support me and would buy poop if I was selling it, supported me and bought these plates. And I was devastated. I remember feeling like I just wanted to get into bed and never get out again. And I should just quit now. I wasn't meant to be an entrepreneur. What was I going to do? I was a failure. Now I owe my parents all this money. And it was so tough for me. And at the time, I didn't understand yet that my success is and was inevitable, and that if I simply had 100% commitment to my goals, there's always another route. There's always another way. It doesn't have to be these plates. It's going to be something else. I'm going to have the impact and make the income that I desire so that I can still have all those goals, help my family, help other people. But I couldn't quite comprehend that at the time. So it took me a long time. I like to be honest and real, because I think when we talk about entrepreneurship, a lot of people portray it as, just like I was saying earlier, hey, it's effortless. I transitioned from this to this. But that's not quite the story, right? We all go through those tough times. We all go through the ups and downs. And what I realized is that embracing the chaos and embracing the parts that are hard, the parts where we feel confused, is actually the best thing you can do, because it's truly a gift. Because what it means is that your clarity is coming. Your breakthrough is around the corner. And that's exactly what it was for me with those plates. I just didn't realize it when I was in it. And now that I've been blessed with so many more ups and downs over the years, that would take probably a whole day to tell you about, I now know that my success is always inevitable. I am always on the right path. And it's the same for all my clients and all the women I work with and speak to. They are all on the right path, and every experience they have is a lesson to prepare them for the amazing things that are coming for them. And if they can just realize that, then the failure doesn't hurt so bad, and we're not so attached to our goals, which actually helps us achieve them faster.
Right, exactly. And when you're in the middle of the failure, especially the first one like that, where no one, it's crickets beyond your friends, that can like make your heart sing and feel really awful. But yet, looking back on it now, it's a great lesson. It's a great story, because I could feel it. I can feel that, oh my God, nobody is buying any of the plates. And they were, that's really a good idea, actually.
Thank you. I still have them. And I actually, it's so funny, because it's been 3 years now. I found a local store that sells pineapple things, and they want to sell them because my plates have pineapples on them. So I'm like, great, I'm finally going to sell these. Like 3 years later, it's all coming the way it's supposed to be, and everything works out always.
Well, yes. And you know, it's like visionaries, and you're a visionary, right? And visionaries are always 18 months to 2 years or more ahead of the culture and the time. And so sometimes what looks like a failure when it's happening is really, we're just ahead of the schedule.
Ooh, that's good.
You know,
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah. So 3 years later, people are wanting your plates. You just thought of it 3 years earlier than the people could receive it.
I love it.
Yeah. So I noticed that a lot. I mean, I've had a lot of really brilliant ideas and created things, and kind of went through that same, like, how come nobody's getting it? And then like 2 years later, people are bringing it up to me like it's new information. And I used to look at them and go, what? I've been talking about this for years. And then I realize, yes, I have been. And they couldn't hear it until then. And it's really amazing, you know? So I think that since you're a visionary, you probably run into that a lot.
I do. And on the other side of it, I run into it as a learner. Because how many times have you been to like a conference or listened to a podcast where someone says something that you already know and you've heard it a million times, but it was the thing you needed to hear at that moment for the thing that was going on in your life or your business, and it was a total game changer. And that inspires me so much as a creator and as a visionary, because I know that, hey, even if I am spreading the same messages and even if I am saying things that, you know, aren't brand new ideas, right? Like the personal development world has been around for, you know, centuries, but people need to hear it over and over again. It's like we're feeding ourselves food. We need it every day or we'll die and our ideas will die within us. So it's inspirational for me on both sides of the coin.
Oh yes, absolutely. Nobody wants to, you know, my whole goal is to inspire people. That's my big purpose, is inspiration and education. And it's all about helping kind of wake up that inner greatness within all of us so that we can make some noise in the world and shine really brightly and be everything we're meant to be. And so I'd like to ask you, because I love the name of your academy, Spark Your Light Academy, because that's how I kind of see all of us with all this energy and this sparkly light in all of us. And it's really about setting it free. So tell us a little bit about how you created this academy and what it's about.
Yeah. So I created it just out of a need from working with my clients, which I honestly feel is the best way to create products and services out of a personal need or something that people who work with you in some sense of your business tell you they want. So when I first started my consulting company, I started working with people who wanted to start a business. I'm like, okay, I can help you start a business because I've done it before. I'm really good at it. What do you need help on? So I started that, and then I realized, okay, well, some people need it more specific instructions. So then I started working with women who wanted to do similar businesses to mine. And then when I was working with them, I realized, well, everyone has their own unique goals. And what they really need is a specific action plan. First of all, they need to get clarity on what those dreams are, how to take a dream to a goal, to a really short-term focused one single goal. And then they need to figure out how to create the action steps that actually align with their goals and their dream life that will help them get there. So if someone tells me, hey, Jacqueline, my dream is to create a nonprofit that's going to cure cancer, right? Like, let's just say that's someone's dream. I'm going to say, okay, we're going to need to create billions of dollars. How can we do that? And if they say, well, I want to sell a 99-cent ebook, well, that's not in alignment, right? That's not going to get you there. So we actually, you know, work backwards to create a whole plan for your business that focuses around your goals. And the secret component of it is really the mindset. So I find, and I'm sure you found this in your business and in the people you speak with, you can only grow as much as your mindset has grown. So if their mindset isn't big enough, if they're not already being who they want to be and who they need to be to achieve these goals, then they'll never be able to achieve them. So it's that secret combination of where you need to be mentally and also the action steps you need to be taking on a daily basis to spark that light inside of you. I believe sparking your light is getting clear on that vision and then taking the action. And that's where the spark happens. That's where the magic happens, because you're totally in alignment, moving towards your goals and your dreams. And you don't feel like you're throwing spaghetti at the wall anymore. You actually realize, okay, these steps are getting me there. And the thing that's really powerful about achieving a goal is that it's a reflection of what you believe you can do. So Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. There's have never been truer words. The problem I run into with a lot of my clients, and that I ran into in the past when I first started my business, was I often had like maybe 95%, I think I can, but 5% doubt. And that doubt basically caused me not to achieve the goal. So when people are able to break down their goals into smaller steps and have smaller achievements along the way, they build that confidence up to 100%. And that's when they do achieve their really big dreams and goals. So that's what I teach in the academy.
Oh, that's really amazing. So do you ever work with any clients, or maybe you might even have this challenge yourself, with the situation of overthinking to the point of like analysis paralysis, or where the overthinking gets in the way of the action? Does that ever happen to you, or have you helped anyone with that kind of situation? That's one of the big questions that the listeners of this podcast ask about.
Absolutely. So first of all, I personally have it and I can relate to it. And I also have a lot of clients who have it. It's much easier for me to notice it and recognize it in my clients, because it's very easy to see, wow, you haven't taken any action. You haven't done anything. Why? And it's so often these fears. That's why they're overanalyzing. Well, what if it's not the right name? What if it's not perfect? It's perfectionism. And it's, you know, what if I'm charging too much money? And all these limiting beliefs that are so deeply rooted. And in myself, sometimes I don't even recognize I'm doing it. I just get caught up, and 3 hours later, I've been focusing on, you know, the name of some new thing that I want to launch for 3 hours, when you can sell it with any name. And as long as you're fulfilling a need, it's going to solve the problem and people are going to want it. So I realize it in my clients more than I realize it in myself. And when I realize it in my clients, I explain to them that they will never be ready. Being ready is an illusion. You will never feel ready. And if we wait until we're ready, then we will watch our dreams die. It's a harsh reality, but they need to hear it. What is the worst case scenario? What's going to happen if you don't take action? And when people consciously spell this out, recognize that, oh, I'm going to have to get a job. I'm going to have to quit my business. I'm going to watch my dreams die, as harsh as that is. That's what happens when we don't take action, when we get caught up, when we waste our valuable time, which is a limited resource, on overanalyzing, on letting our fears and limiting beliefs hold us back. So it's taking a step back and first recognizing when you're in it, because as I mentioned, I understand and can relate that sometimes you don't even realize it when you're in it, which is why taking the time to have a really healthy morning routine and planning out your day that focuses both on revenue generating activities and on activities that get you closer to your goals, and cutting out everything else, and then looking at it and saying, how am I doing? Am I on track? Oh no, I just spent 6 hours overanalyzing something. Well, let's take a step back. Let's recognize, okay, what's holding us back? If it's a limiting belief, let's poke holes in it. Let's create a new belief and a new story that we're going to tell ourselves to get around that roadblock. And let's keep moving forward, because we know that in order to achieve our goals, we need to take action before we're ready. So it's something that I think everyone will struggle with. It's a part of being an entrepreneur and a visionary. It's a part of having ideas. And we'll constantly have new limiting beliefs that we have to dive deeper and deeper to overcome. But the more you do that, the more your mind increases, and thus the more your success increases.
Oh, that's great. You know, you might want to rewind and listen to Jacqueline again and again. That part of what you just shared was so amazing. And I just wrote down a sentence you said that is so powerful. And it's something I subscribe to, but I didn't have it in the same great words you use. And when you were talking about that we'll never be ready, that we have to take action before we're ready, that that's the key to a lot of this. And somehow, I don't know, maybe it was my intuition kind of helped me get ready to do that. And now I overthink a lot less. But the way you just said that was so eloquent. So if you want to know about overthinking, you can rewind this podcast and listen to Jacqueline all you want to explain it again, because she just nailed it in my view. It was like right on. And I wrote it down. I really love how you shared that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will say, listening to things more than once is really helpful. I often listen to podcasts multiple times, coaching calls, because you pick up on more things the second time around that you never even realized the first time. So I'm glad you made that recommendation, because I really have found in my personal experience that it's been a game changer for me to have even a deeper level of understanding than the first time I listened.
Yes, I do the same thing. I sometimes binge listen to the same podcast over and over and over on this, you know, like 5 or 6 episodes looped, so that I can really hear what's really going on with them. So I just really love that. Now I have some more really cool questions coming through. And another question that I really love for you to speak about is the idea of being an entrepreneur. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, they want to be entrepreneurs and they want to do whatever it is, but it's really an emotional situation. And there's a lot different to being an entrepreneur than being working as an employee for a corporation. And so what do you see as strengths or assets that are common with female entrepreneurs or any entrepreneur who is successful? And so I'm thinking there's probably some personality traits or some ways of being or maybe mindset and belief things that you've been noticing that really set somebody up to be successful.
I love that. Yeah. So I think the number one thing is having a growth mindset and being open to growth. Because like I told you at the beginning of my journey, I didn't have a lot of the beliefs I have now, because you don't know what you don't know. I hadn't had those experiences. I hadn't read the books I've read, listened to the podcasts I've read, hired the coaches I've hired. So all I knew in the beginning was that I was open to growth and I wanted this. I was committed to my goal. That those are the only two things I started with. And if you have that, then what I'm going to explain next are some of the beliefs that you should focus on developing through your entrepreneurial journey. So if you are an entrepreneur or if you're an aspiring entrepreneur and you're listening to this, I would love for you to write down these beliefs and be honest with yourself and say, how much right now on a scale of 1 to 10, do I actually align with this belief? And if you don't, what kinds of action steps can you take on a daily basis to focus on these beliefs? Because as I've mentioned before, your mindset is like a container for your success. So I always like to use the example, when I was in college, I would bring these like really teeny peanut butter containers that would hold like just a little scoop, tablespoon, maybe 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. It's probably for salad dressing, but I always put peanut butter in them because I would bring them to the library and eat peanut butter crackers. And so for a lot of people, that's where their mindset starts. And where your mindset should grow to is like this big lasagna pan. Come from a big Italian family, and my mom will make like huge things of lasagna or baked ziti in the oven in this huge glass container that's as big as the oven can possibly fit. And I see that my mindset has grown from that little peanut butter jar to the lasagna pan. And if you think about literally stuffing dollar bills into each container, you can only fit a certain amount. And so when people talk about growing their business and their business income and what's going to set up a female entrepreneur for success, at the end of the day, I like to explain, even though we don't like talking about money, money is success. You're a business and businesses operate to make money. Impact is important. It's a driver. It's your why. And the more income you have, the more impact you have, both on a level of within your business and outside of your business, because your dollar allows you to have more impact. So I like to talk about in terms of money. So think about how much money can you stuff into that peanut butter jar versus how much money can you stuff into that huge lasagna pan? Much, much more. So these beliefs I'm going to talk about, I want you to think about, where do you align with them? And think about, which jar are you fitting in? Are you probably fitting somewhere in the middle? And the more you can align fully, like a 10 out of 10 on these beliefs, the more you're stepping into that lasagna jar, and thus that's the key to your success. So first belief, your success is inevitable. If you can fully step into the fact that no matter what happens, no matter what failure I have, my success truly is inevitable, you are going to make decisions from a different place and a different perspective. I'm not afraid when I drop 15 grand for a coach because I know my success is inevitable, even if I don't have the money when I spend it, right? Because I'm not worried. I know my success is coming. So because I make decisions that put my business first, that put my success first, it's actually furthering the inevitability of my success. So that's the first belief. Second belief, you are in control of your own success. Some people like to blame outside factors. Oh, the economy's not doing well. Oh, the Instagram algorithm changed, right? Like there's all kinds of things that we can blame for what's not working and why. And there are external factors. You can't control everything, right? I can't control the economy single-handedly, although I believe maybe if we can all meditate on it or something, maybe we can make the economy a little better. But single-handedly, I'm probably not going to control the stock market. But what I can control is what Jacqueline does. So when the stock market crashes and I need to make X dollars this month to pay my employees, to pay my bills, What do I need to do? How can I find a way? I'm in control of me, and there's always a way. How many ways can you get between Philadelphia and Los Angeles? You can fly a plane. You can take a boat that's going to go all the way around the country. You could walk. It might take a really long time. You might have to sleep at like hundreds of hotels, but you could get there, right? And you could even dig a hole underground. It might take years and years and years, but eventually you would get there. So you have to fully commit to the belief that you are in control of your own success. Because when you have 100% commitment to your goals, you'll always find another way. And when you combine that with 100% belief in yourself, because you can do anything that you believe you can, then there's nothing stopping you. So that's number two, that's really important. The third one is that you are not a failure. When you fail, you are simply moving closer to your success. So when we have attachment to our goals, it's a really negative thing. So I'm super goal oriented. I have my clients write all their goals down in the past tense as if they've already happened, because your brain doesn't understand the difference between real and imagined, and all these awesome exercises to get really in on your goals. But when we create an attachment with our goals, we actually move further away from them. So if you can fully detach from your goals, and again, that goes back to believing your success is inevitable, then you don't see failure as a bad thing. Now, I've finally stepped into a place where about 90% of the time when I fail, I don't get nervous. I'm like, okay, the universe is guiding me in a different direction for a reason. There's a lesson to be learned here. Now, one thing that I recommend you do when you feel like you are failing is get out a journal and write down, what am I supposed to learn from this that is preparing me for more success in the future? Because the way the universe works is if you fail and you don't learn from it, you're going to get sent the same lesson over and over and over again until you learn it. And for me, that's what was happening in my first 2 years of business, because I was failing and I believed my success was inevitable and I figured just keep going. But I didn't really look back and think about what can I learn from this, write it out, apply it to the future as much as I could have. And now, because I openly believe that failure is only a positive thing, I'm thankful for failure. I'm grateful for failure. It's preparing me for something better. And I actually learn from them. That makes all the difference. So if you can cultivate these beliefs, which all come from simply being open to having a growth mindset, always knowing that you can step into an even better version of yourself, a version that's getting you closer and closer to your limitless potential, then you are set up for success. You will constantly feed your mind with the right content that's going to keep you learning, keep you open, and keep you growing. And that's the key.
Those are amazing. And I think that it makes so much sense. I'm listening to you and I'm going, I'm feeling all motivated. Like, I'm really glad we're doing this interview, because all the things that you're saying all go together, like they intertwine. The whole idea that if you have a vision in your heart and you know it's for you to do, only you can do it, and your success is inevitable, or the vision wouldn't be in your heart.
Exactly. You were gifted with that vision for a reason. It's not a mistake. Whatever you believe in, God, the universe, your higher self, there are no mistakes. It's perfect. It's exactly what was supposed to be there for you, for your life.
Exactly. And so the rest is the play out. And that's where all the failure and success and the ups and the downs and the what am I doing and oh, this is great and all of the different pieces that go with it, that's part of the journey. But the success is inevitable. We just have to allow it and actually focus on it and work for it. And so you're speaking to the things that speak to my heart. So I'm like sitting over here just grinning, grinning, grinning. It's awesome.
I love it.
I know. I love it too. So I have another couple questions for you. One, they're a little bit more personal. What do you do for fun? What kinds of things does Jacqueline like to do just to cut loose and have a good time? Because you spend a lot of time out there really teaching and creating and helping people. So what do you do to cut loose?
Yeah. So you're going to think this is funny. My fiance says that I am the laziest hardworking person he knows. And I think it's because I go so hard. Like, I am wired early in the morning working on personal development. I'm working on my business all day. Oftentimes I'm traveling, going to speeches where I do not prefer to work nights and weekends, but occasionally, like if there is a speaking gig or something that somewhere I need to be that's very important for my business, I will do that. So because I give so much energy, even though I'm extroverted, by the time I'm done all that, I'm freaking tired. So I like to get on the couch with a nice blanket. I don't care if it's a 90 degree day. I am just cozier in a blanket. Everyone thinks it's funny and laughs at me, but I'm like, put the air really high so I can put on a blanket. Probably wasting money on the bill, but I don't care. It's making me happy, right? And just watch a movie and relax. I like to spend time with my family and friends. I love going out to eat and spending a lot of time with loved ones. I think those are the most important things to me. I like to travel. I like to go down to the Jersey Shore in the summer, which is our closest beach right outside Philadelphia. So I spend a lot of time on the beach and reading. I like to read, like the personal development stuff. I do that for fun. I like reading books and learning because I'm so tied to just wanting to be the best version of me. But I can't do that all the time. And sometimes I just need to watch like a rom-com and have a glass of wine and just relax. So that's me in my spare time.
So you, the extrovert, you have an on switch and an off switch.
Oh yeah. And it's funny. So I actually meant to mention this in your last question about person. You mentioned like, oh, is it personality type? So I'm really interested in Myers-Briggs and how you can use your personality type to tune into your superpowers. So I don't think that any personality types are necessarily good or bad. They're just neutral. And we all have different superpowers. And we should hire people that have the superpower of like the job that we need them to do. So for me as an extrovert, like my superpower is being on things like these podcasts, working with clients, coaching them, being with people, speaking, meeting people, networking, because that comes innate to me. But it's funny because when I took the Myers-Briggs tests, I got 70% extrovert, 30% introvert, and I thought it would be higher extrovert because everyone who knows me is like, Jacqueline's the biggest extrovert ever. But the 30% introvert was all related to questions about how after you've had a long day or been around a lot of people, do you need to recharge? So even though I'm extroverted, I believe probably most extroverts are like this. We all need to recharge alone or just with a small group of people and have some time not to talk, you know, and just relax and have that time. So yeah, I like to turn the switch off and take some time to recharge so that I'm energized for these, you know, extroverted occasions.
Oh, that's really amazing. So what is your favorite food to eat?
Ooh, favorite food. I'd probably say salmon with oven roasted asparagus and maybe some chicken fried rice. I would say that would be an ideal meal for me. It's kind of weird. I definitely like weird things. My brother-in-law always jokes. My sisters are 10 and 7 years older than me. So my one brother-in-law has been in my life since I was in sixth grade. And he always tells people, yeah, when Jacqueline was in sixth grade, her birthday dinner, because my mom makes a birthday dinner for all of us every year, whatever we want on our birthday, she'll make whatever it is. My birthday dinner was hot dogs and I think like corn. And I like cut up the hot dogs on a plate. So I've always been kind of a funny eater. But I would say now that would be my go-to.
Oh, I love that. That's a good one. I think that sounds really delicious, actually, salmon. And so one last question on this round anyway, on this part of it, is when you've traveled and all the different places that you've traveled, what would be a place that sticks out for you as having particularly moved you spiritually or emotionally?
Oh, that's a good one. Think about this one. I guess one that has particularly moved me would be when I went to University of Illinois and spoke to the Panhellenic, which is the women in sororities. And the reason is because it was my first really large audience that I ever spoke to in my life. It was over 1,000 women. They had actually like filled the whole auditorium and they said it was a fire hazard and no more students could come in, which first of all, was amazing to me that all these women who had no idea who I was wanted to hear my message and hear me speak. And being on that stage and impacting these women, and in particularly, I remember there was one woman in the front row when I closed my speech, you know how it is, I tied it back to the beginning and it was this really impactful message. I saw tears in her eyes and I thought, this is the work I am meant to do. When someone has that emotional response, you know that something is changing in that person's life. And I spoke to that woman afterwards and she told me that she had been pre-med in school for years because her parents wanted her to be a doctor and had told her whole life, you're going to be a doctor. And she actually was really interested in marketing, and that's what she wanted to do. But she was so afraid to tell her parents that she wasn't living up to their vision of what they wanted for her life. And because of hearing my speech, she realized that she was going to go home and call them that night and tell them she was changing her major. And the fact that just something I said in a 1-hour speech changed the whole trajectory of someone else's life made me realize that I have to keep doing this. I have to commit to this purpose because it's truly changing everything for that person. And even if you can just change everything for one person in your line of work, you're making a difference. And if your work can be fulfilling and pay you a lot of money, that's like the best thing that can ever happen to you. So I hope that you all find that in your life.
Then, and that's really, really powerful. I'm glad you shared that story, because that woman would have been going down a road of inauthenticity and feeling more and more miserable, trying to please someone outside of her. And because you showed up with your authenticity and your belief and put it out in a way that she could hear you in that day, it gave her the confidence and the ability to step into her authority and her alignment and her integrity. And that changed her life, certainly, because we have to be striving to live in our integrity. So by you living in your integrity, it gave her permission to live in hers.
I love that. And I love that we can be examples for other people, and we can create our careers and our businesses in a way that sets that example to show other people what's possible for them.
Exactly. It's so amazing. So we're coming to the end of the show, though I could talk to you forever. I might have to invite you back for another episode later, because I really have more questions, but I want to be considerate of your time. And I want to tell all of you who are listening to Jacqueline that I'm going to put the links to reach her in the show notes. And if you are listening to her and you're resonating with her, maybe you have goosebumps like I do, or maybe you have tears in your eyes, or she's sparking ideas in you, please contact her, because the whole point of the work she's doing and the whole point of this podcast and the work I'm doing is to really work with people to help you all get to a place of your own inner integrity and authority so you can be everything you're meant to be, whatever that looks like. So if she's resonating with you, go to the show notes right now, click on that contact and get a hold of her and let her know you heard her on the podcast and see what she can do to help get you clarity, get you in action and move you forward. Because clearly she's done it in her own life, and I bet she has some good plans that she could help you with too.
Thank you so much.
So she has a book coming out in December. There's more happening. You got to follow her on social media and follow her if she has, you know, on all the different ways and links that you'll see in the show notes, because she is a content creator like I am. So it'll take a little bit to keep up with her. But I have one last question, Jacqueline, for you before we close the show. And that is this: if you could design and create the message for a billboard that everyone on earth would see, what would be on that billboard?
Oh, that is a deep question. I would probably write, "You have limitless potential and your success is inevitable, so follow your dreams."
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's the perfect billboard. It would be really good on those billboards that light up, you know, so it'd like have a sparkle to it, right?
Yeah, some yellow on it and some maybe like fireworks in the background.
Right, something like that. Like, wow, give it some pizzazz, right? Oh, that's amazing. So everybody, you've been listening to Jacqueline DeGregorio. I cannot get your last name right.
Got it. You're good.
I'm close enough, right? From Philadelphia. She is an amazing person. I used amazing a lot in the beginning. You're probably saying amazing now after listening to her. It's not a joke. She's really cool. So thank you, Jacqueline, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been truly an honor.
Thank you so much. And remember, everybody, to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you're a rock star and you're here on purpose with a purpose. So let's go out there and make some noise. Until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit SomeoneGetsMe.com. Again, thanks for listening.